Hello, and welcome to the Campus Bible Study podcast. Campus Bible Study is the Christian University group based at the University of New South Wales. We seek to prayerfully proclaim the crucified Christ as Lord of all, and hope that these weekly podcasts are an edifying encouragement to you, wherever you are tuning in from.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Campus Bible Study podcast. I'm Maggie, and I'm here with Carl for another Q&A after our Bible talk this week. How are you going, Carl?
Yeah, I'm enjoying being on campus, but I'm getting a bit tired. I'm preaching six times a week at the moment. It's been great to get the year underway, but I'm looking forward to a little break and stopping and actually preparing talks for NYC.
Exciting, yeah. We have been talking a bit about NYC Media Conference this week around campus. I'm really excited. The topic is going to be the goodness of God. I'm so excited to dig into how God has been so good to us and to explore that in the Bible with others. If you want to find out more about Media Conference, you can go to the website nyc.campusbiblestudy.org. But we've got a few questions today, Carl, so we'll get into it.
Yes, and the first question relates to the goodness of God a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. The first question, thinking about Matthew chapter 20, verse 21, how is God not fair, and yet the Bible says that God is perfectly just? Thank you, Ash.
Yes, thanks, Ash. I was a little bit confusing here. It's about the parable of the labourers in the vineyard, and they come in at various times but all get paid the same amount. And I said, God is not fair. God is more than fair. God is generous. And so what I'm saying is fair is an inadequate description of God. It's not that God is unfair. It's just fair is not enough to describe the generosity of God. So it's not that God's unfair or unjust. He is perfectly fair, perfectly just. But fairness doesn't do justice to the generosity of God that we're being shown in this parable. Sorry for misleading you there a little bit, Ash, but I'm not saying God is unfair. I'm saying God is more than fair, beautifully generous.
Thanks, Carl. The next question from Alice is, who is the daughter of Zion mentioned in Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, and what relevance does it have to the passage?
Do you want me to read the verse and then do you want to have a crack at it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Great. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.
Thanks, Alice. Daughter of Zion is, that word Zion is sometimes used in other parts of the Bible. We can see in Luke chapter 23, that Jesus also addresses the daughters, but he says in verse 28, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, when he is on his way to the cross. I think Zion is another name for Jerusalem. And in Matthew 21, Jesus seems to be saying, well, quoting from the prophet, Jerusalem, behold your king, the king of Jerusalem, he's coming humbly on a donkey.
Beautiful. Yep. And so sometimes you'll hear the heavenly Jerusalem or the heavenly Zion. It's because that's the model that Jerusalem on earth is. Mount Zion. Jerusalem was built on Mount Zion. And the heavenly Jerusalem is also sometimes called the heavenly Mount Zion, that kind of idea.
Thanks, Alice. Ben, you've asked a really helpful question. Ben's asked, just curious, but do we know any Pharisees who believed in the end, like Nicodemus or someone else who knew their stuff, who knew the law? That's a really great question, and we're actually going to deal with that next week.
Such a great question. It got me thinking, and it'll play nicely in next week's passage. Yeah. So come along to the Bible talk.
Awesome. There's been a few questions about the fig tree in chapter 21. Philip asks, how does chapter 21, verse 20 to 22, fit into the understanding of the fig tree as an analogy?
Yes, and someone else asked, why did you skip verses 21 to 22? It's the sad reality of having two chapters to cover. I think there were nearly 80 verses. I know pretty much that because I've been translating them all from the original Greek, and it takes a long time. But it's good for my just thinking about the passage. Why have I had to skip some passages, some verses? Because I can't cover everything in the time that I have, and I'm trying to choose what's the way that gets us through the passage, seeing the big themes, but I can't cover every detail, which kind of you understand that, I'm sure. But let's deal with it. Let's go into the fig tree. I said the fig tree is representative. And I think these questions, some of the guys asking these questions have said, hey, but Jesus takes it in a different direction. So the disciples ask Jesus about how the withering of the tree happened. And he basically says, it's all about faith. And if you have the kind of faith that he says, you can move mountains. And so it's not that what I was saying was wrong. The fig tree is symbolic of Israel. But Jesus is then asked another question and it goes in a slightly different direction. Now, we've covered that direction a little bit already in previous weeks, so I didn't go there. But let's go there now. The key thing is, what? Do you want to read the verses and we'll listen for the key thing?
Yes, for sure. I'll go from verse 19. And seeing the fig tree by the way, he went to it, this is Jesus, and found nothing on it but only leaves. And Jesus said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith.
Okay, Maggie, do you want to throw some mountains around?
I think that would be pretty cool.
May not be the most needed thing in your life right now.
I haven't thought about it.
Yeah. Did you see the key thing? We haven't talked about this, but I'm putting Maggie on the spot. What's the key thing to doing this?
It seems like the key thing is faith.
Nice.
In verse 22.
Now, we've talked a little bit about that in previous sermons, and it's a reminder. What, do the disciples not have faith? Was it 2 weeks ago we talked about the coming of faith as Jesus pours out his spirit in Acts 2? Galatians 3 talks about the coming of faith. Jesus, these disciples at the moment, we've seen their weakness. We've seen their inability to drive out demons. We've probably their inability to curse fig trees and throw mountains around. But Jesus is saying there's a time coming when they will be given faith, and that faith is going to be able to do remarkable things. Mm. Now, I don't think they needed to throw mountains around very often, but they certainly needed to do things like pray for the spread of the gospel and boldness when they'd been persecuted to keep speaking about Jesus. So there's all kinds of powerful things that get prayed for and that are answered when the disciples are given faith. After Jesus dies and rises as the great king.
And we see that God is the one who gives that faith.
Beautiful.
The next question is particularly about repentance. How do we repent genuinely when we know that we are prone to sin and may continue in sin? Thanks so much, Bailey. We know from the gospel, from God's word, that the great repentance, the great turning away from sin, happens when we repent of our sin, confess our sin, and turn to Jesus and trust in him as our King. But the ongoing struggle of sin in a Christian's life, I think, is maybe perhaps what you're asking. And I think repentance is not saying that we will never sin again. In 1 John chapter 1 from verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think 1 John helpfully points out that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, but there is the expectation that we do still struggle with sin, but the assurance that if we confess our sins, then we have forgiveness in Jesus.
Yeah, so I wonder whether it's all about
where you direct your eyes with repentance. Mm. If you look at yourself and your inability to kill particular sins that you struggle with, that probably will get pretty depressing. And but if you look to Jesus as the great forgiver who loves you even though you still struggle with sin. Now, I don't want to excuse you. I want you to keep putting sin to death in your life. But I don't want you to dwell upon your sin and get depressed about the unchanging hardship of living in this flesh. I want you to keep looking to Jesus and see the work that he's doing in you.
Mm.
It's about his work. It's not about your discipline or your ability. It's all about Jesus. And isn't it beautiful that he loves us even though we are somewhat repentance failures? And as much as we'd all like to be better at serving him and following him, he understands our weaknesses, it says in Hebrews, and he loves us the same with our sin, because through his death on the cross, we are completely forgiven, even though we continue, before he takes us home, we continue to struggle in this flesh with various temptations and sins. It's just another reminder of the beautiful nature of being forgiven by Jesus.
Thanks, Carl, and thanks, Bailey. Why don't I pray in thanks for Jesus' forgiveness to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and that you do reveal yourself to us in Jesus. Father, we thank you that we have seen your incredible, your outrageous generosity to us in the costly sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Father, we thank you that he is risen and reigning as king. And Father, we thank you that he has forgiven us and that he loves us regardless of what we've done. Father, we pray that you will help us to keep living for him, to keep being in a habit of repenting and confessing our sin and looking to Jesus and the forgiveness that we have in him. Thank you so much for your goodness in this and that you are a good and generous God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Campus Bible Study podcast this week. Please make sure you are subscribed on your regular podcasting app. You can get in contact with us at campusbiblestudy.org. There, you can also find details about upcoming events and information about partnering with our ministry, both prayerfully and financially.